From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
It's Locked On Chiefs. We are back, and it is a Red Friday for you guys out there in Chiefs Kingdom. We're going to be talking about what needs to happen, what's going to happen, and what may just kind of maybe happen between these Baltimore Ravens and your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm here with Chris Clark from ChiefsDigest.com, as well as myself. I'm Ryan Tracy from RGR Football and Rogue Analytics. The story of the day is the Chiefs face maybe the hottest team in the NFL coming into Arrowhead with a chance to go 3-0 after two really well-played games on the road. How are you feeling about the overall chances?
I think the chances are great as long as Patrick Mahomes is your QB. So, you look at this game, and I understand it is a good Ravens team that's coming in. The question really becomes, are they going to be able to do what they did last year against Kansas City? And are they going to be able to play better than they did last year? Because Mahomes is better than he was when they played last year.
Absolutely. And it is kind of a telltale, because with the no-look pass, with the way that Mahomes ran the offense against the Ravens last season, which was coming down to a playoff berth, you know, looking at seeding and that kind of stuff, it was kind of a pivotal game there. How have these teams progressed since then? That's what this story is going to be about. And we have heard, and I even said, things could change once the league gets options, gets film in front of it, and comes up with ideas for how to fluster him or throw him off for that. But clearly the first two staffs were unable to pull that off.
Yeah, and this is going to be a good test for him. I think that, you know, the Baltimore Ravens defense is a fantastic defense. I just don't know that they're going to have enough in their arsenal to be able to slow him down with the way he played last week.
That's the big question. And I think I, for one, we'll get into the details here, folks, after we take our break. But this is going to be a game that I think really comes down to the MVP, as probably I think people are starting to get onto the idea that he is the best quarterback in this league, bar none. It's not as much of a debate any longer. Versus a guy that has been so downtrodden since before coming into the league. Everybody thought he was going to be a running back, or a lot of the league thought that. I thought the Baltimore Ravens showed a lot of faith in him. And Lamar Jackson is starting to make the argument that he should be considered amongst the top tier as well.
Yeah, you can definitely make that argument. The question is he going to be a good enough passer for that to continue throughout the season? And we'll see if that really is the case. He's looked a lot better this year, but I don't know that he's really faced a top flight defense. He won't face that in Kansas City, obviously, but later in the season, when they actually get tape on what he is doing better this year, is going to be the real test of Lamar Jackson.
And this test is going to be a pretty good one, because it's going to require that the Ravens try to keep pace with Pat Mahomes. Now, we could see something like we saw last week, where the Raiders kind of jumped all over the Chiefs to begin with, and they had to bide their time, get some adjustments made, especially as to where we are right now with injuries. I can see that happening pretty quickly, particularly out at left tackle.
It's definitely possible. You have to wonder how that's going to play out with Cam Irving. The Ravens are a better pass rushing unit than the Raiders are, but I don't think that they have the firepower in the pass rush that they had last year. So the question is that going to be able to get home this game? If it gets home, that changes the trajectory. But you still have to look at this Chiefs offensive line, who is doing very well at not getting Patrick Mahomes sacked. He is being hit, but with the way he plays football, that's kind of on him as well.
And one guy that stood out last season in terms of getting pressure was Matt Judon. He is, again, amongst the leaders of this Ravens pass rush, along with Tyus Bowser and Pernell McPhee, in terms of generating pressures. Just not, again, all the sack numbers, but getting people off of their spot. And with Mahomes' ankle, I think that's still, while it's progressing, still a concern. But I think the Chiefs showed last week that they can move the pocket enough to keep him clean and get the ball out of his hands.
And that's definitely what I expect them to do. I do think that they'll be moving him around, and I think that you're going to see a lot of quick hitters early in the game, so they're not able to get a good pass rush on him. And if they can get Mahomes going early, that's really going to help them late, because then to that point, the Ravens are going to have to throw the ball. That's when they can start dialing up. The Chiefs can start dialing up their pass rush, which they do have, and I think we'll get home this week.
I think the matchups in particular are going to be a very tall order in this particular game on both sides of the ball. We're going to have a couple of different wrinkles that Mahomes versus Jackson in particular, when you're looking at what you have to do with those two, that are going to really tell the tale, the difference of how these defenses can play them. When we get back in a minute, we're going to start digging into what the Chiefs can do to try and attack Lamar Jackson. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED to get started.
If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season. Bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Now, like we said earlier, Jackson's making a push. Again, against lower competition so far this season, but still has been performing heads and tails above where he was a season ago. The first game, tons of passing yards. We'll talk about his weapons here in a second, but didn't run much. And then last week, kind of let that loose, and they ran a few more RPOs. He actually gained 120 yards on the ground. And I think that's probably in lead up to this game, something that they did on purpose to try and put on film so that Steve Spagnuolo has to devise a plan for how they're going to contain Lamar Jackson on the run. How much do you think that's going to be an imperative?
I think it's going to be important. I don't know that it's going to be imperative for them to win this game. I think that Lamar Jackson is a good quarterback. Well, is becoming a better quarterback when it comes to the throwing aspect. I think what you need to worry about with him as a QB is he going to be more pass first or throw first? Or sorry, pass first or run first? Last year, he was a lot of run first versus passing. I think this year it's switching. The question you have to ask this year is, can Kansas City make him more of a throw first type QB? I do expect with Anthony Hitchens in the middle that he's going to be watching him on somewhat of a regular basis. And I do think that they will play to be able to stop him from running.
And I think that's going to be a good possibility too. I feel like they're trying to make him a little bit more pocket. I think they'll start out that way. And then I think probably as they feel like they've given the Chiefs a couple of jabs, they're going to come back with a hook of letting him RPO and try to get out on the border. So for a defensive coordinator who's trying to both guard against the run and contain a mobile quarterback, it brings me back to what we've been seeing quite a lot this season and a ton against the Raiders, is that the nickel and dime are going to be key, and you have to have the guys out there that line up in the linebacker spots, even if it's a safety like Dan Sorensen, that have the wheels to track down Lamar Jackson and keep him under check. And I wouldn't even put it against them using a spy dedicated to what he's doing.
Definitely could, and definitely probably should. The real question, though, is if you can keep him in the pocket and you keep him from running, is he going to be able to beat you in the air? This Chiefs defense isn't great against the pass, but I think they're good enough. I think they showed last week against Derek Carr that they have talent. It's just not quite there on the same level chemistry-wise. So this is going to be a good test for them.
I think so, definitely. And I showed some of the stuff in the film room, particularly at the safety position with Juan Thornhill. I think he's going to play a pivotal role because, especially if you are going to run that nickel and dime with Sorensen out there, most likely, and this is a really interesting wrinkle that I put out the other night when I did my film review, I watched the first half in particular about third down. And Ben Neiman played 8 out of the 11 third downs, whereas Darren Lee only played 2. And when I look at matchup against Lamar Jackson in particular, I think Lee's faster. He just hasn't been in position. He hasn't been doing his job as well, but this might be a game where he's more suited to kind of trail or shadow what Jackson is doing.
He definitely may be more suited, but the question is do the Chiefs see him as the better player? And I'm not saying that he isn't the better player, but the question is does the team think he's the better player? If they trust Ben Neiman more, which it seems like they do, at least they have in the past couple of weeks, then it's a possibility that Darren Lee isn't going to be the guy that's out there trying to track him down.
It could be. And that puts more emphasis if you're not going to contain him on those safeties. And one thing that Juan Thornhill did really well last week was come up from his deep safety spot. A couple of big plays against Renfro on some screens, being in the right position. And he's done a good job in open field tackling in particular. He has let his eyes wander. He has been duped a little bit. I don't know that we're going to see something like that from the Ravens offense led by a second year guy versus a rookie. But if Jackson does break the pocket, I feel like Juan Thornhill is going to be that last line of defense. And I feel comfortable right now with how he's playing in the open field.
I do too. I think he's been playing fantastic. I think that he's going to be learning a little bit more over the next couple of games and the rest of the season, obviously, but the way he's been playing so far, not hearing his name is one of the best compliments you can give a defensive back. They're not throwing at him. They're not testing him. He seems to be in the place that he's supposed to be. And he seems to be a guy that has a lot more coverage speed than we really thought that he may have coming into the draft process.
Yeah. And that's going to be important. They are going to throw things at him. I do believe that he is going to be maybe not the top target, but when you look at what the Ravens have been able to do and who their top two pass catchers are, they're relatively young. Second-year tight end Mark Andrews running out of not only in line, but in the slot as well, broken out, much like you see Kelsey, had a really nice big play down the sideline when he got loose last week. And pressing Thornhill over to the corners is something that I think Andrews has shown that he can do. When you look at how they lined Thornhill up last week, I think that is probably a primary matchup that they're going to use interchangeably with Tyrann Mathieu. But Mark Andrews is probably the guy I'm most worried about.
I can understand that. It's going to be a big question whether or not Andrews is going to be somebody that this team can contain. I do think that they have the pieces to slow tight ends down. Andrews actually was on the injury report, so it's a question whether or not he's even going to play in this game. I do think that he probably does, but the fact that he's on the injury report is going to help Kansas City. But like I said, I do think that Tyrann Mathieu, I do think that Juan Thornhill are going to be guys that can cover him, not and stop him every single play, but I think it's going to be a situation where he's not going to hurt you near as much as he's maybe hurt other teams.
Well, and I think he's going to be the primary target, at least in Jackson's process, if not in play design. I didn't even discount the fact that he was on the injury report from what I'd heard he's playing. So forgive me for missing that piece. But I think it's going to be a combination of the two safeties. They're going to have to contain him. Maybe if you go into the dime more, you'll use Sorensen up front because Sorensen actually has the best body in terms of girth and length to play him at the line of scrimmage and disrupt, which I think is key in particular to Andrews because Lamar Jackson has to rely on timing or else he will break the pocket. I don't think that he's quite comfortable to allow disruption in the route and still hang with it that long without moving on to secondary targets.
I do agree with that. Now, the thing that's going to interest me when it comes to Andrews is, you know, how do they line him up? And I know they've kind of been using him all over, and we have seen young QBs really focus on the tight end. But if Kansas City can find a way to take him away as the first read, then is Lamar Jackson still going to be as efficient? Because if you start calling plays for a guy that's not getting open and you are trying to move your offense around through other guys, yes, they have Brown, who's a fantastic wideout. But beyond that, their targets aren't near as good as, well, obviously they're not near as good as Kansas City, but they're not great players. They do have decent targets, but it's not anything like the top two.
I can understand that. And Marquise Brown is unique. He is the Mecole Hardman of this Baltimore Ravens because he does have the same kind of speed. Honestly, on film, I thought Marquise Brown was a little bit faster. He was my wide receiver one in this past draft. You guys heard me talk about him. If you didn't, you can check some of those out. But he has shown that he can stretch this. He's not Tyreek Hill fast, but he's nearly there. And if he is going to be the secondary, especially if they can stack, and what I'm looking for is Marquise in the slot with Anders there, probably at tight end, maybe in line, maybe slightly off, but trying to stress the same safety zone with both of them, make a young safety make a decision. That's really what I think the game plan is going to come down to for the Ravens. And I think the Chiefs have to be prepared for it. We might see more cover two or cover four because of it.
Definitely a possibility. And if they start going that direction, then you have to, you know, you have to adjust on defense. And I think one thing that we need to talk about that we really haven't discussed, we did discuss the Raiders game in depth, but what we didn't touch on is Spagnuolo made a huge adjustment and did very well adjusting after the first quarter. And that is going to be key moving forward. What we saw in previous years from Kansas City and Bob Sutton is they never really adjusted to what they were doing. They always tried to make what they were doing stop whatever the other team was wanting to do. Spagnuolo was not like that. He adjusts on the fly. And yeah, it took him a quarter to get the Raiders offense under control. But once he did that and made the adjustment, I think that you saw that this defense is a lot better than we expected.
And when we get back in a minute here, folks, we're going to talk about some of those adjustments. And then we will see exactly where we think the pin might be put to emphasize on the Chiefs offense. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Now, like you said, Spagnuolo made some good adjustments. I like the fact that he went to more of a zone to make his players more comfortable to do what they do well. I thought that helped Kendall Fuller in particular. I thought it helped Breland a little bit. I expect that they'll probably play more zone in base at this point or play some mixed coverage that still allows Treverius Ward to play some man. But like you said, the quick change, the being able to adapt is something that I think, especially on the RPOs, is something we're going to have to look for in this coming game as well.
Absolutely. You have to get the defense doing what they can do to stop the offense, and you have to be able to adjust on the fly. Andy Reid has shown that he's able to adjust the offense to whatever the defense is giving them, and it looks like he has a coach in Spagnuolo who will do the same on defense. So that's a fantastic start for Kansas City. Now, when you flip it over to the other side of the ball, you start looking at this Chiefs offense against this Ravens defense, and the question becomes, who's going to be the big pass catcher this week? First week it was Sammy Watkins. Second week it was DeMarcus Robinson. Is it going to be Mecole Hardman this week? Is it going to be somebody else?
That is going to be the question. It's kind of like whack-a-mole, in my opinion. You know, whatever they don't try to take away, they're going to take away something. They're going to bracket whoever. My guess is it's going to be Kelsey now, which then opens things up for Sammy a little bit more, as well as the younger guys. So if that's the way they're going to play it, and Earl Thomas has come out and said he's going to take away all the big plays. So that tells me that they are planning on playing more two deep and playing Earl back, and that's perfectly fine. I expect more crossers out of Sammy and Mecole Hardman in particular, and I think that's a scheme that can really work for them because even we saw last week, despite film, people are still underestimating the speed of Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, and they start playing that underneath game, and you may not have as many big chunk plays down the field, but you're still going to have an offense that is awfully efficient, and it's actually going to be worse for the Ravens because they're not going to be getting beat as quickly, so they won't have as many possessions.
And that does come in handy, and I think at the end of the day, that's where they have to look at and trying to exploit some of that. Now, there's not a whole lot there to exploit. Like I said, the pass rush with Matt Judon is doing pretty well. Pernell McPhee's doing pretty well as well. Earl, obviously. And if you look, old friend Brandon Carr is still on this roster and actually playing well in where he's been, what, 86 snaps for the season so far, but has the highest coverage grade on the Baltimore Ravens. And that's kind of interesting for a guy his age.
Yeah, and a guy of his talent as well, because we've seen Brandon Carr on both ends of the spectrum. So it looks like Martindale is doing very well getting his players in the best position possible to be successful, which is what good coaches do. So I do think that the Ravens are going to have some things that are going to get home against Kansas City. You know, really the bigger question in this game for me becomes, is Kansas City able to win the turnover possession battle? Mahomes has shown that he hasn't thrown any balls that are really close to being picked this year, maybe one. Does that change this week? Because you have some defenders, especially Earl Thomas, if Mahomes is taking a shot deep, that's really going to be testing that.
Yeah, and it's going to have to be, and like I said, a bracketing kind of situation where I think we'll give Earl his best shots. Because underneath, they haven't had Jimmy Smith. As of Thursday, Jimmy Smith is still not practicing, so it's hard to see him taking the field in Arrowhead. So Maurice Kennedy is a guy that could be out there. You have Marlon Humphrey, who's played a lot. Tony Jefferson's been the other safety. All guys that have been exposed in years past by not only speed, but crossing patterns in particular. So I do feel this is going to be an emphasis in the offensive game plan this week.
Certainly should be. You know, the bigger question for Kansas City when it comes to, you know, being able to vary their offense is who are they going to have available? We haven't even talked about Damian Williams not practicing again on Thursday. So you would imagine he's not playing on Sunday. And then you also have LeSean McCoy, who I think was supposed to be practicing, but I haven't seen a report whether or not he actually did practice yet.
No, and as we record this Thursday afternoon, folks, I have not seen that either. So if those guys are both unable to go, we're looking at Darryl and Darwin and Sherm. And I'm actually fairly comfortable with that. I feel like the fact that they ran poorly last week was because the Raiders were really looking for it. The Raiders were looking to be physical and protecting against the run. If the Ravens choose to do that, it's better for the passing game. And quite frankly, I want to see Darryl and Sherman in there together. If a team's going to try to stop the run and Andy really wants to prove a point and play with power, I like the combination of, I expect Darryl to get the start over Thompson. I could be wrong, but I'd like to see Thompson kind of a third down role.
That would be interesting to see. Now, the only problem with that, though, is you have a situation where your left tackle is not good at run blocking or hasn't been good at run blocking so far this season. So that's going to create issues. Is he going to be able to step forward in that role? You would hope so. He did a very good job against the pass last week, but he really struggled in the running game. Obviously, you still have the right side of the ball you can run, the right side of the line you can run to, but you can't just have one side of the ball, you know, not being able to go that direction, or it's going to be something that they're going to be able to figure out pretty easy.
I tell you what, I would run at that four hole all day long until they stop it, and then I'd jet sweep the opposite way. I would not be scared to do that. And I am very interested to see what the counter is off of that, because I do expect them to try to run some. Again, depending on what Earl is doing in particular, because I know Pat wants to take those shots. If they are trying to play some kind of six coverage or something where they have a lot of intermediate routes underneath and two behind, you're looking at, that's a box you want to run at, right? So if they do that and then the Ravens clamp down, then it's all broke loose. And I want to see what they can do with Hardman on some of the behind the line of scrimmage motion, as well as the deep crossers with Robinson.
And I'm glad you bring up the motion and that, because that's what Mahomes has become so great at this year. That I'm not saying he was bad at last year, but he seems so much more comfortable knowing before the ball is snapped where he's going with the ball. Andy Reid is taking this offense to another level, using the motions to help Mahomes to have keys on every single play to know what the coverages are, so he knows where the ball is going. Now, the question on that is, you're going up against the coordinator in Martindale, who knows what he's doing. Is he going to be able to disguise things that are going to make Patrick make bad decisions?
Oh, wink, wink. Yeah, that's the question, right? But I will say this. I agree with you that he's processing off of what the motion is telling him better. But I also feel like as I watch him do that, that he has a much better feel for what it should be, that he's getting it rather than new information from what he sees off of the motion in the defense. It's not processing new information for him. It seems like it's confirmation that he has the expectations. And for the most part, he's being confirmed as to what he thinks, which allows him again to fire faster, to think faster, to move pieces around, set that protection in particular, which I have to think is going to be a lot of protection away from the left tackle, but that's just where we're at.
Yeah, and you may be right on that, and so I'm not trying to discount that at all, and that's a very good point. He may have already known what the defense is going to be. To me, it's just amazing to watch his progression from last year to this year, because I'm not saying, again, that he really struggled with it a lot last year, but there were still times where you know he was confused, and he didn't look himself because he didn't know the defense that was coming in. He wasn't throwing to the right place. This year, you haven't seen that yet, and you've seen him play two games, I'm not going to say flawlessly, but very close.
I'm with you there. Well, that said, let's get to it. You get to go first this week. How do you see this game going?
You know, I do think that it's going to be a closer game than the Chiefs have played to this point. I think, you know, really the Jaguars game really wasn't close. The score ended up being close because they got some garbage points at the very end. I think this is going to be a game that's going to be a slugfest. I think the Ravens are going to come out and they're going to attack this Kansas City defense, and they're going to try to really figure out what this defense is and what they're able to do and what they can't do. And when you start looking at it from that aspect, I do think that the Ravens are going to score some points. I think it's going to be a closer game. And I think Kansas City ends up winning in the end because I think Mahomes is the better quarterback, and I think they have the better offense. And I don't think Baltimore's defense is better enough to compensate for the difference between the Baltimore offense and the Kansas City offense. So I think Kansas City ends up winning this game. I'm going to go 35-28.
Okay, that's pretty close to where I'm at too. And I agree with you. These weapons, especially the tight end and the slot receiver, are set up to attack where Kansas City's been weak over the years. Now, obviously, Tyrann Mathieu's new to the team, so we can't really call that an established weakness anymore. But I do feel like they're in unique position to take advantage. You add in the RPO aspect, as well as I think you're going to see a lot of run out of Justice Hill, a young back from the Baltimore backfield that I was real high on coming out. Interested to see that. And I think the Chiefs are going to allow themselves some attrition and give up the running game if they have to in order to protect against some of those deeper balls. I, too, expect it to be a little bit closer than before. I'm going to call it 37-31 Chiefs. But they do give up a lot of points to these weapons. Folks. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can definitely see that. And the thing that is going to take the running game away from Baltimore the best is if Kansas City is able to find a way to get out to a large lead. Now, the one thing that I haven't taken into account a lot is this is going to be Kansas City's first game at Arrowhead this year. That always is going to play a big factor in how this game goes. And if Kansas City's fans get into this game early, which you know they will, if the Chiefs get up early, that could really change the outcome of this game.
And I think that they're counting on that, too. This is a chance to have Chiefs Kingdom take down my opponent's score by like 10. So maybe it's 37-21.
This is definitely a chance to be a statement game. Sorry.
Folks, we want to know what you think, whether you're going to the game or not. Definitely, if you are, how do you think this is going to come out? Hit us at Locked On Chiefs on Twitter, as well as the phone line, 913-777-4457. We're building up a nice little cache of messages that folks have left. Here's a shout out to Nate Carnahan. I hope you're ready for your wedding. You're getting a lot of good pub, and thanks for being a loyal listener. We appreciate it. Folks,
appreciate that, buddy. And just a heads up, shout out to Seth Kaiser. He will be at the game. So go hit him up on Twitter. Really, I'm a Chiefs fan. He will be there.
And thank you to you guys for taking care of the show yesterday. Folks, hope you enjoy the game. We're pretty pumped for it. We'll be back with you at some point for post game Sunday evening. So keep an eye out for that. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll talk to you then. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.